Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
We used to get go to the fish and chip shop, and there's always like a few green ones. And Teddy used to tell me that if there was a green one, then the green fingered chip men had been in and poisoned the whole batch. And but only Teddy was immune, luckily. So I had to give him all my chips.
I remember that.
So that was one of the first. I learned a lesson there.
Right.
That I was being conned.
This is Death, Sex, and Money.
I need $1 million in cash.
The show from WNYC about the things we think about a lot.
I see dead people.
And need to talk about more.
What exactly does third base feel like?
I'm Anna Sale. When Teddy Thompson was 6 years old, his parents split up. His parents were the British folk rock duo Linda and Richard Thompson, and the end of their marriage had a soundtrack.
Let me write on the wall of death one more time.
It was their last album together, called Shoot Out the Lights.
I think she was pregnant with me at the time, so there's some sort of amniotic osmosis of stress. And
I wonder if that made you the mess that you are.
My drinking and drug taking is just completely valid.
Cammie Thompson never knew her parents as a couple. She was born as they were breaking up. Now she's 32 years old. Her big brother Teddy is 38. She lives in the UK. He lives in New York. But they were both here in town to play a few shows together and came to our studio with their instruments.
Should we play something? What should we do?
Last year, Teddy got the family together, including their mother and father, to make an album. It's called Family.
It's family.
That's what I wanted to talk to them about. Not their parents' rock and roll divorce 4 decades ago, but their family now. Particularly their relationship as siblings. It comes up in the album's title song.
My elder sister is prettier than you'd believe. My younger sister is prettier still and can sing. And I am the middle child, the boy with red hair and no smile. Not too secure, very unsure who to be.
Cammie, when you first heard it, the song Family, how did you feel?
Impressed.
Deeply.
I'll answer that. Amazed.
I thought it was a good payoff for a few years of therapy, really.
If you have a brother or sister, Teddy and Cammie's back and forth might sound familiar. That sparring by instinct with this person you know so intimately. You share this history. And then as you get older, you realize this person with the same parents is turning out so different. Because the way you think about your siblings can be stuck in childhood. Your childhood.
Cammie was, if you will, like kind of a little bit of like the symbol of divorce to me.
Yeah, yeah.
It's sort of having Cammie was the child that came along. And of course it wasn't exactly this way, but it was like Cammie came along and my parents split up like pretty much simultaneously.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. There's some interesting timing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't remember having any resentment towards Cammie at all from the beginning. I just remember sort of having a vague notion of like there was this big change and Cammie was part of the big change, you know. Something was lost and something was gained. But then I went away. I would have gone to boarding school, I guess, when you were like 5 or something.
Yeah, and then I lived with our grandmother.
Yeah.
And then we basically tried to spend as little time together as possible until quite recently.
Yeah, we didn't spend a lot.
You moved to America.
And then I moved to America, yeah. And when Cammie would have been like 12 or 13. So Cammie was still, you know, like she was still a baby in my mind until she was about 20, because I left when she was a baby, yeah. You know, pretty much. And then at one point I came back to England for a visit and she was like drinking at the pub and I was like, what the hell? You're a baby, stop doing that.
I felt like I didn't get anything. You know, we never fought as kids because there was just, there was a sort of buffer where there was no, I would get sent to the shops for things. Kit Kats and Diet Cokes and cigarettes.
And you would go. We did that to my little sister too.
Yeah,
yeah, she would be so excited to help.
I was the running boy for a few years, and then it stopped. Yeah. Sometimes you need a brother. Sometimes you help one another. I'm afraid that my brother might turn out to be you.
And how much did you live with your father?
Never.
Never did.
No, we definitely didn't. You know, they split up when I was 6 and a half, and that was it. You know, we lived with my mum and my stepdad. My mum remarried, and we saw my dad, you know, the usual kind of weekends and holidays and stuff, and a bit less than most people would, even in that respect, because, you know, he was and is a touring musician, so it wasn't every weekend. He'd be gone for long periods of time. He had to work, and he was... He remarried a Californian and was spending a lot of time in California, so we didn't see him much. And Cammy, yeah, didn't live with him at all. They were split up from the beginning of your life.
Yeah, I mean, I've always had four parents,
Yeah, because your parents were divorced, but they were married to the same people throughout all of your life that you remember.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine my parents married. It seems the most absurd union of people on the unit. I can't imagine them in a room together for more than an hour. They'd come to blows.
And growing up, did you learn about the divorce kind of much later? I mean, Teddy lived it, and you weren't really conscious of what was happening in your parents' relationship.
I mean, I sort of knew about it. I knew Dad was reticent about talk. You know, that was never brought up. You know, I knew that was... He definitely maybe still does, you know, feel guilty for leaving a family. I mean, I think that's a difficult decision to make and live with. But it wasn't, it was just, it's just part of, you know, the family folklore for me. I see it more as something I now view as an adult and go, oh, okay, right, interesting. I'm an adult now and I look at it and go, okay, would I have done that? Would I have done this? You know, I view it from those eyes. I long for a lonely wherever it's gone out of my life somewhere far flung.
And you, Teddy, do you remember your parents' divorce as a moment when you felt split or as a moment when you felt aligned with one parent or the other?
I felt very split. Very ambivalent is the word. It pervades, you know, it's a tricky thing because it really does. I really do feel that sort of being torn between both parents feeling in other areas of my life. It's a very powerful emotion, you know. I don't have any memories of that time. I pretty much don't have any memories from the time of the divorce for about 3 years afterwards. I have no childhood memories because I sort of shut down because that was the way I could deal with it, was to kind of put my fingers in my ears and close my eyes and go, la, 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 I don't want to think about this. So I did kind of just shut down. But I do remember before that, those feelings of, you know, being standing between two parents, if you will, not literally, but like, I don't know which way to go. And that's not a nice feeling.
What do you remember your brother teaching you when you were growing up?
Teddy was great. Teddy definitely filled, you know, a man role in my life. You know, Teddy was the first person who, you know, told me I was playing a bum note and, like, you know, how to keep time and, you know, all the stuff that you really want someone to help you with. You know, Dad's rubbish at that. You could be playing a different song and with Dad, and you get to the end and go, yeah, fine, next. And you go, but I know I'm doing it wrong. Help! So I learned a lot, you know, that I learned so much from Teddy, definitely musically, which has been really important to me.
Do you remember a time when your little sister called you and you had to give her advice?
Nope. I don't know how useful I was as, you know, like the big brother call me when you're in trouble kind of thing. But I think I showed you how to plug in a guitar cable into a tuner.
Yeah. You turn out to be very important in your family.
How apt is that, that I taught you nothing about life but something about, you know, music? That's, yeah. Oh, well.
Coming up, how making this family album changed some long-standing Thompson family dynamics. It started with gathering scattered family snapshots for the album cover.
It was a struggle to find them. I was, you know, like, call my mum, do you have any pictures? Oh, I don't know where those photo albums are. And then she's like, oh, all right, well, let me go and see.
That's what else you used to do to me when I was little. You'd go and hide all the pictures of me when I was a baby. And you'd go, you're adopted, there's no baby pictures of you.
I didn't do that.
You did go, you won't find any. And I'd run tearing around the house. I remember coming down crying once, going, you're right.
Oh, God, sorry about that. Maybe that's why there were so few when we came to look for them. Maybe I'd probably be...
We flushed them down.
Flushed a lot of them down the toilet when you were two.
I have some stories like this. My little sister was born after we moved into a bigger house, and I used to tell her that she never would have been born if my parents didn't have a room to fill. Sorry, Mary. These are the ways we torment our siblings as kids. As adults, it's much less direct, but can be even more emotional. I've got four sisters, and we're close, but we live far from each other, and our lives look more and more different as we age. That can be a minefield for feeling judged or judgmental. That's the next set of stories I want to hear from you, about you and your siblings as adults. What's changed in your relationship as you've grown up? And what hasn't changed at all since you were kids? I know it's hardest for me to be mature when it comes to my sisters. Email your sibling story to deathsexmoney@wnyc.org. Or it's best, if you have a smartphone, record yourself telling your story into the voice memo app and email that in, deathsexmoney@wnyc.org. On the next episode, your stories about being cheated on and cheating.
I just want to throw some love out there to the cheaters. Not because I support you and your decision to cheat, but because I understand how isolating and lonely it can be and how much you have to fight to crawl out of whatever hole you dug yourself in.
This is Death, Sex, and Money from WNYC. I'm Anna Sale. Cammie Thompson can't remember her parents playing music together when they were a couple. But now that she's grown, she's getting a sense of what that's like. She's in a band now with her husband, James Walborn, called The Rails. At their wedding in 2012, the whole Thompson clan gathered to play music and celebrate.
Doing the seating plan was a bitch. Doing the top table was really difficult. There was no way of doing it. Not that anyone would have a difficult... I just sort of wanted everyone to just be able to relax and have a nice time. And my immediate family is so extended with so many people. I ended up sitting with my husband and our maid of honour and best man at a miniature table of four in the middle of everyone just to make it easy.
That tells me a lot about you.
I'm an island. Xanax, caffeine, and cocaine.
This panic needs to my brain. You and your husband are now in The Rails. You have your own band.
Yeah, we do.
So you were a traveling married couple, musical team.
Freud calling.
Yeah, and you make jokes about it. Yeah. Like, what do you make of that choice?
I mean, it's so odd. I daren't sit down and pick at it for too long in case I come to some sort of weird, you know, Oedipal, horrible realization. Who knows?
Do you want me to explain it to you?
Because no.
I've done loads. I've been through this. I can.
No.
Shh.
And Teddy, you have this really interesting line in the song "Family" about how you've gotten close to family.
Mm-hmm.
I've come very close to a family of my own. I thought I could just let it come to me as I am. But you gotta know how to choose happiness over the blues, light over dark, willing to start something new.
What were you saying? What are you saying in that line?
Just what I said. I've come close and then not, which is distressing. You know, there are, you know, it's just lots of people have been through it, you know, you kind of almost do it and then you don't. And then, you know, I've almost done it a few times, but it becomes, you know, the older you get, when you get to a certain age, it happens and you're like, whoa, now it's really that, maybe that was the last chance kind of thing, you know, and was that the right person and was that the right situation? And there's a lot of, if you're 20 or 25, you're like, well, there'll be other chances. And then when you're 38, you're like, well, will there be other chances? And, you know, it's sad.
I think the line continues in it. I think it's just a perfect encapsulation of what I think a lot of kids of divorce go through, that you have to find a way to believe there's potential to have a new kind of family than the one you knew. That.
Yeah, I think it's more just the ability to... you know, for lack of a less self-helpy phrase, to choose happiness or to choose something. And the idea that it can just happen to you one day, and like, and things will change and things will get better, is, you realize, is not really the case for most of the time. You have to actually make a conscious effort to say, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to choose to do this and choose. And that's what's very hard for me to do, is to make choices.
There's nothing more to say. I'm going on my way. I'm sorry that it didn't work out.
I've always been the type to just let things happen to me, rather than to make a choice and pursue it.
So why did you want to make this album?
Because I think in retrospect, I was, you know, having a hard time in my own life, and I was sort of looking for something. I was looking for a bit of family support, I think, and I kind of left family behind in a lot of ways 20 years ago and didn't want to be close to my family, or too close to my family. And then I reached a point where I realized that I think that I needed some family, I needed some support.
In your family, it's this contrast of going on stage and singing the most raw, emotional songs, and then you're saying not a lot of conversation about what's actually happened in your family. I mean, does it feel like that to you?
Yeah. I mean, overall, I think it does.
That's what musicians tend to do. Yeah. I mean, musicians are quite, you know, you're always sort of watching and processing, and then you go away and you write. And you don't even know that you're having certain feelings until you go and write a song and you go, oh, right, that's how I feel about that. It's that. That's the reveal moment for me with a lot of things. I don't think it would ever seem natural to sort of try and pinpoint an emotion, have a discussion about it with the family, and then move on.
You recorded these songs mostly separately, and then you have to do a promotional tour where you're going around talking about all of your family dynamics that you, it sounds like you haven't talked a lot about directly to each other. What's it been like with the album completed? Like, has anything shifted in your family?
I didn't, first of all, I really, truly must have just shut out how this was going to go. I really didn't think about having to do things like this and talk about it. So I was a bit, you know, when we had to start doing interviews, and I was a bit, there were some uncomfortable moments that I wasn't really prepared for. I mean, like, I did an interview with my dad on another show, and they asked him some questions, and I was like, I felt bad, you know, and I was like putting him on the spot in a way. I mean, I kind of felt a bit guilty about doing that to him. But then, of course, you know, I also feel angry at him for some things that happened a long time ago. So I'm kind of, there's a bit of that. But But it helped me in some way to see, you know, his reaction to that was in a way good for me, because he didn't handle it very well, I would say, and he changed the subject very quickly and tried to sort of laugh it off, and which I know that that's he felt uncomfortable, you know, and there's something sort of, it's good for me to be reminded that my dad's not good at everything, if you will, you know. So it was nice to go, oh, you know, he's human too, and he's like, this is an area of his life
he's
where he struggles.
Yeah.
He does struggle with that, and yeah, I've noticed a little bit. You know, we did some press stuff in London, and we had, like, you know, there were some moments where we had some laughs and some good times that were sort of things we don't have much of with my dad, because, you know, we didn't have him around when we were kids. So I think people have been, you know, I think there's been a little bit of healing, a little bit here and there, just little touches of it, you know, to be around each other, and it's been a little bit of, you know, manufactured family time.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's something.
And Cammie, what's it been like for you?
Fine, yeah. Don't know, really, yeah, it's just, gig's a gig.
Cammie and Teddy Thompson, musicians and siblings with very different takes on their family band. You can hear two songs they recorded in our studio, along with their nephew Zach Hobbs, on our website at deathsexmoney.org. Their album Family came out last November. Lots of family members play on it, so look for it under the artist's name, Thompson. The Rails, Cammie's band with her husband, has their debut album out now. Death, Sex, and Money is a production of WNYC. The team includes Katie Bishop, Emily Botine, James Ramsey, Chris Bannon, Greg Rippon, Caitlin Pierce, and Zachary Mack. The Reverend John DeLore and Steve Lewis wrote our theme music. Find us and follow us on Twitter. I'm at Anna Sale. The show is at Death, Sex, Money. And you have one more week to get your name in for the newsletter contest. If you're subscribed to our weekly newsletter by February 18th, you're entered to win a care package from us that will include 3 books off of our Death, Sex, Money reading list, plus a few other surprises. Go to deathsexmoney.org/newsletter. You'll get our weekly email every Wednesday morning with audio recommendations and updates about the show. Plus, you might win. Finally, for those of you who are wondering when and whether to start a family, here's one last piece of Thompson family advice.
My mom always says you can take kids more places than you can take a dog, so just get on with it.
What kind of a thing is that to say?
That's the whole thing. Whenever I go, oh, kids, oh, seems like hard work, she goes, oh, you can take a baby more places than you can take a dog. That's her comeback line.
I'm Anna Sale, and this is Death, Sex, and Money from WNYC.